Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hello? Hello? We're almost there. All right. Hey, long time no hear.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well. Super excited to hear you again.
Well, I'm alive. That's about it.
Oh, man, I hear you.
Yeah, we're a couple minutes early yet anyway, so...
Well, I'm going to start recording about 30 seconds. No, actually, right now.
Okay.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition Thursday night here, Wednesday night, excuse me, here at Your Remedies in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're pleased to bring back an information provider from some of our past shows, returning again, very excited, on the subject of credit cards, Mr. Michael Maris. My name is Martin. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do were they similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless, and it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedies in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com, we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the Rules of Civil Procedure, better known to some as American Jurisprudence or AMJUR. The Rules of Civil Procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on and virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course, so it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced, the jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of your remedies in the law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of yourremediesinthelaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedy is in the Law. And Your Remedy is in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at yourremediesinthelaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it will ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights. Anything that you can think of. And if it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much of how you think of a social network, though nothing like a social network. It's very custom. It's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be of a tremendous amount of help to you. Well, maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do were I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. I mean, for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button, fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at Your Remedy is in the Law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at Your Remedy is in the Law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best. And believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen. And when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not at Your Remedy is in the Law, anyway. Of course, when you come aboard and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
Well, thank you, Martin, for that wonderful disclaimer. We appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's call is regarding Mr. Slevin's, Herr Slevin's, LLC. This is a most unique limited liability company in that it is designed to work well for people who are presently deemed employees and it's designed to work well for the entrepreneur or anyone who has an existing business where they would like to place that business in a category which is protected in law from having to pay taxes. And you're going to learn that tonight. You're going to learn how, as an employee, that Mr. Slevin will conference with you and your employer to educate your employer how they can save a tremendous amount of money, upwards to 60% in their payroll costs on you alone. So much so that once the employer understands this, well, frankly, if I were the employer, I would want to be converting every single one of my employees over to each one of them having their own LLC. And again, Mr. Slevin may be going to further detail with that. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn this call over to this time to Mr. Slevin and for him to explain the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about. Sir?
Good evening. I had some frog legs. I had some frog legs last night, so my voice is a little lower than usual.
I heard Kermit screaming all the way.
Yeah, Miss Piggy was crying too. Nonetheless, so how do we make you more successful? Well, we start out by looking at what they call the rules of statutory construction. Now, these must be followed by the legislative draftsmen or lexicographers who write up all these cool things that Congress passes and the other legislators pass, and the appropriate executive signs off on, and it becomes the law, more or less. Anyway, one of these things says that when any word or phrase are defined as a term only, that term's definition can be used when reading and or applying the statute. Another of these rules says that when you're defined a term by a list of things, then they must remain in the same family. So an example would be the term, quote, the term edibles includes an apple, a banana, a grape, a rock, or a chicken, end quote. Well, obviously the rock doesn't appear to be in the same class, and therefore this definition is invalid, unless the term is rock is subsequently defined, such as a piece of rock candy. So we now step over into the mystical world of the Internal Revenue Code, which is found in Title 26 of the United States Code. And at 7701 definitions, it says, A, when used in this title, where not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof, one, person, the term person, shall be construed to mean and include an individual, a trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation, end quote. So when we look at that list in the term, we see things that are created by man, and often called entities, a trust, a state, a company, so forth. But that word individual does not seem to comport itself with being in the same family, because individual is a delimiter. It means one of something. But what would that one be? A spotted lizard, a corporate official, a one-eyed jack, or could it be that the term individual, as is defined in Black's Law, 6th edition, which says existing as an indivisible entity? Well, now that would be in the same family as a state, association, or company, right? So that would be fall into the proper determination. So we're talking about an individual entity. Term person can then say, an individual entity, a trust, estate, partnership, association, so forth. Then we follow on down into A2, which reads, in part, the term partnership includes an unincorporated organization Well, what would that be? When one goes and gets a limited liability company produced by the Secretary of State and the legislation thereof, you get a certificate of organization. Well, that would include that would mean that's a partnership, right? Because it's an unincorporated organization exemplified by a certificate of organization. So when we're reading the Internal Revenue Code and trying to figure out who is not subject to this egregious thing called the income tax, we find in Section 701, which is located in Chapter 1, quote, a partnership as such shall not be subject to the income tax imposed in this chapter, period. Persons carrying on business as partners shall be liable for the income tax only in their separate or individual capacities. See how those little definitions make all the difference in the world? We now know that the LLC and everything done underneath it is not subject to the income tax. And that, just because a human being owns a piece of the membership of that LLC, well, they're not really a person according to the definition. So then that human that owns a membership of the LLC or a piece thereof is not part of the subject, and therefore all of that organization is not subject to the income tax, which is also not liable for, which is also known as immune in law. So how do we use this? Well, our company goes and agrees with a client on a name for a new limited liability company. Then one of our people goes to the state of New Mexico, and I'm about to tell you why, because it's a really cool place. And they fill out the Articles of Organization. Now, the articles require a minimum of two parties. They are the organizer and the registered agent. Both of these parties can be other LLCs. So when you think about that for a moment, you have one LLC that's owned by another LLC that's owned by another LLC. Do you see the anonymity built into this system? And I can pretty well assure you that the legislators that voted for this got paid really well to do it, because normally politicians don't give away the farm like that. So now I'm pretty sure you've probably heard of the benefits of organizing or incorporating in Delaware, Nevada, and possibly Wyoming. But in those states, you have to put on people's names on the application or for the incorporation organization, and that's referred to as a nominee list. And these states protect the list, but in New Mexico, the list does not exist. So once we our company fills out the Articles of Organization, New Mexico provides us with a certificate of organization for the new company. Then one of our workers who has never filed a U.S. 1040 and U.S. individual income tax return and is therefore without the jurisdiction of the IRS goes down to its website and gets a tax identification number for the new LLC. And that's known as an EIN or Employer Identification Number. Now, when they go on the website, they run into one of these questions. It says, why is the LLC requesting an EIN? And there's several things, but the one we always choose is banking purposes. And the subheading says, select this option if the reason for applying for an EIN is strictly, and in law, strictly means you got to, is strictly to satisfy banking requirements or local law. Do you see anything about taxation there? No. Upon receiving the EIN, one of our personnel is known as the sole member on the IRS's paperwork, and that sole member holds a meeting and forms a resolution of the new company to create a or commission another party as a manager for the LLC. Now, a manager is the only officer known to the LLC. Corporations have CFO, directors, and such, and then statutory partnerships have partnerships and limited general partners and limited partners. But a manager is the only officer of an LLC. But the company can have as many managers or and or members as it wishes. It can all be pushed out to like the fourth and fifth decimal point to get as many as you want or as the company wants. So manager takes his commission, the certificate of organization, an EIN paper, goes down to a local brick and mortar bank, brick and mortar bank. That frog is really getting on me today. And gets the new company a checking account. It comes with a debit card, usually having only the company name and the title on it. It also has electronic banking and all the bells and whistles normally associated with the banking today. That being accomplished, the manager brings all of this paperwork back to the office, and we pair it up with a pay-as-you-go cell phone. And here again, anonymity and privacy is our main concern. The phone is programmed up with that electronic banking, and we include Square App and Cash App. Square is like a merchant services platform. It allows the new company to take payments in debit cards and credit cards. And then Cash App is a peer-to-peer transfer platform. But both of these can be fleshed out more and get debit cards and therefore checking accounts for the new company. And so once all this is done, the company would then have three separate checking accounts and debit cards and ways of getting money in and out of its coffers. So once all that is, once we do all that, and we put it in a box and we ship it out to the client. Client gets it, opens the box up, and they are now become equipped to carry on business worldwide and income tax free. Sound like a good idea? I like it. So this is an example of a small business having, one or two people running it. Now, you can link these together and say you have a small manufacturing concern in order to make yourself judgment-proof. So you'd have the one LLC is the operations LLC. And then you have a building in which whatever widget that you're building is built. And that building is owned by a second LLC and rented back to the operations. And then you have the equipment. For manufacturing your widgets, and the equipment is owned by a third LLC and rented back to operations. Then you have a fourth one that is your workers. See, we don't use employee because it's another one of those defined terms within the Internal Revenue Code. Oh, and if you want to go look it up, it's at 7701A20. And it goes down about 109 words till it gets to this phrase, and it says the term employee includes a full-time life insurance salesman. So for all you people out there that think you've been working as an employee and not be a full-time life insurance salesman, guess what? You don't fit the definition. So in the complex business things we were just talking about, that fourth or fifth LLC will have the workers report to it, and those workers could each have an LLC, and so you have all the contracts what are typically between an employer and employee, which are defined terms, are between the company and the workers. So that's one way of becoming judgment-proof, because if the operation was sued, then and a judgment got against it, did all that they could get was whatever's in one of the checking accounts, all the equipment, the building, and everything else would be totally protected. because it's titled under another name, which is different than the one that got the judgment against it. So we also have estate planning. So mom and pop have a house, a car, and a boat, and they want to make sure that the beneficiaries, which are usually children but not necessarily, get everything that they should get. So they retitle these assets into the limited liability company name and then pull up the paperwork as a manager for each of the beneficiaries and or their guardians, depending on the ages. And then if mom or dad or both pass away, then the beneficiaries just pull out the documentation out of the safe and continue the family business, because we build these in perpetuity. And there is no estate tax, probate necessary, because it's the company, the LLC, cannot die other than if it somehow runs afoul, and which is an extraordinary circumstance in the first place. So to step back and look at our earlier explanation of the complex business setup, if you're now a W-2 employee, you go to the boss and go, "Hey, boss, how'd you like to work to save 25% on my what it cost you to employ me?" Well, he's going to be really happy to hear that, because any business owner or business manager would love to cut his labor cost. So there's this thing called the burden rate, and it says that the bottom line cost to a company for an employee is 1.5 to 1.6 times the salary. So in our example, we just say that Joe's working for IBM. They're paying him $100,000 a year, which is costing IBM a total of $160,000 a year. So Joe goes to the manager, goes, "Hey, boss, how'd you like to save 25% on my labor cost?" And boss goes, "How do I do that?" He said, "Well, right now we're in an employer-employee defined term relationship under contract. So what I'd like to stipulate is that we can go and IBM, I'll resign from that contract, and then IBM will recontract with this limited liability company, which I'll supply, and you'll get the same great guy and doing the same great job and always the same, except for the paperwork and the price. So right now you're paying me $4,722 every other week, and so IBM's checks would then be written one check per month for $10,000 to the LLC, and it would, which of course equals $120,000. So the difference between $120,000 and $160,000 is roughly 25%, and then the LLC would take care of any perceived taxes, benefits, whatever. And then the only other piece of paperwork that the IBM would then have to do is at the end of the year, they'd send a 1099 to the limited liability company for the $120,000, and they're done. So you don't have to, all of these pieces of paperwork and taxes and title and whatever else, it goes away. Plus 25% of your cost. Sounds like a win-win situation to me. Another thing that we've gotten going recently is these LLCs. We have some on the shelf that are 2 years or older, and we also have a supplier of older LLCs. That means when the articles of organization were written and set down by the Secretary of State, it was at least 2 years prior. So we have another information provider online now called Tony the Tiger, and he works with a third one called Ronald Burgundy. Yeah, Ronald Burgundy. So Ron Burgundy and Tony get together, and long story short, for $50,000, Once you have in your possession the aged LLC, then $50,000 to Tony and Ron gets that LLC $1 million line of credit, plus a couple or three of credit cards for the company that run anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000 each. Now, what can you do with that? What do you want to do? So that kind of credit line can get you a multifamily home, you know, like an eightplex or two or three duplexes, and you can immediately become a landlord. But you don't have to fix, you know, flush toilets or whatever. You can hire that out for a percentage of the profit. And because you have this line of credit already set up, then you can grab up the deals as they appear and not have to wait and look at the financing and so on and so forth. And automobiles, high-class automobiles, things running anywhere from $80,000 to $140,000, you can rent those out for hundreds of dollars a day. Do you have to do the rental? No, there are people that do that for a living. So you hire people to do all of those kind of things. So that's something that we just brought on in the last few months, and it is now available. So that's how we roll, and I'd like now to field your questions.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much, Mr. Slevin, for that introductory call conference. We'd like to open for questions. Press *2 on your keypad. Press *2 on your keypad to raise your hand. For those of you on Freedom's Radio, you'll see to the center right of your monitor the silhouette of a rectangle laying on the side. Underneath that is a place to put your name and other information. Within the box, you left-click, type away your comment or question, then hit submit. It pops up on my end, and I'll be happy to lend my voice to echo your comment or your question. Hello, Edward. I'll be right with you. Before we do, there's something that I'd like to cover. Law is not moral. You may be moral. I am moral. But the law is not moral. The law allows you to do what the law allows you to do. The law stops you from doing things that the law stops you from doing. In banking, so thinking of home mortgages, credit cards, and so forth, business loans, the law allows the banks to do certain things that are totally and woefully immoral. Yet, that is their standard operating procedure, because the law allows them to do this or that or the other. There's some confusion as to the moral question of having a company create, arrange, wrought, WROUGHT, craft, an arrangement of information, publish it, all legally, and yield the results that are beneficial to this LLC. If you think about it from a moral issue, no man shields himself from his wrongdoing, or should be, because his sin is a sin. But yet, we have a covering, and we utilize that covering, which is blood spilled 2,000 years ago, and yet we continue to sin. We have no way to uncompromise ourselves from the way that we operate in order to just survive today. The banks were the aggressors in that from the very beginning. Lucifer using the bank system, using the fractional reserves and all the other garbage that goes with it, crafted things in such a way as to steal from you. So my conclusion is that if a company can put things together all according to the law, and it benefits me, my family, and I've not done anything illegal to them, I'm good to go. Otherwise, if I were to say, no, that's not moral, Well, frankly, there's nothing in my life that truly is moral. I fail everywhere I go. We all do. We all fall short, I think is the quote. It is the quote. So I want, for those of you naysayers on the line that have talked to me privately, I just want to share with you that herein the end is accomplished within the system of laws that we're given to work with in our secular civil existence. And I say go for it. And I just wanted to say that before we bring on anyone with Q&A. Some say it might find a problem with that. Talk to me privately about it. I'd like to share with you, or have you share with me your thoughts on it. Edward, followed by Ron. Go ahead, Edward.
Yes, I was wanting to get some information there. When you purchase this LLC, is this going to be a one-time fee, or will it be a yearly fee on it, or what's the status on that?
Okay, our retail price is $7,500, and that gets you a limited liability company duly formed and organized, the EIN, the commission as managers, and the setup of the officers, a brick-and-mortar checking account, and then access to the Square and the Cash App and stuff like that. There's some details in that setup, and then the debit card and the electronic banking, all of those things that I just mentioned, and then we have that's a new business model. Whatever you do now is your business model. We build a brand spanking new one that is not connected to you and the client in any way, and the it's independent. So that provides you the ability to work anonymity. And then once you get it in hand, we have this integration phase. So you may want to integrate it a little bit or totally, whatever you desire. That integration phase is covered under what we call our hotline services, which is a subscription, and it is free for the first year. We help you get it all up and running and raising cane. We can provide other types of accounts, such as other checking accounts, savings accounts, equity trading accounts, possibly a crypto, but we're having some fun with those right recently. So, but those would be an additional cost of the base retail price. And then so once the hotline services subscription is $500 a year thereafter, but it is optional. However, if the subscription expires and you call back in and say, hey, I got to have this done and that done, then that'll be fine, but it'll be $500 an hour, first hour up front. And that is the total of our cost. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, just so you go just have a maybe yearly fee on your extra add-ons to it.
No, whatever the initial contract, depending on what they are, those different accounts. Now, if you want us, you know, in year two or three to build other accounts or whatever, then we would work out a price on those.
Okay. All righty. Thank you very much.
Sure.
All righty. Is that it?
I had another one, but I don't forgot exactly what it was.
I'll go ahead and mute you and take you down, and just press star 2 again to come back up. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Next is Ron from Coco.
Yes. Here to stir the pot a little more, if I can.
You can't.
How do you generate interest? Are you word of mouth, or how do you advertise your business?
On Americans Restoring America.
So that's your only outlet at this time?
That is the outlet that we are working with at this time.
Okay. as well as word of mouth, I presume.
Well, yeah, that's always that. That's like a note. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just was curious as to what your outlets and outreach might be. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Let me check Freedom's Radio real quick. Otherwise, we're going to have a short call tonight. If nobody else raises their hands, press star 2 on your keypads. Let me see what Freedom's Radio brings. And hit refresh. Nope, nothing there. A lot of people there, but nothing there. Miss Jennifer Sue, go right ahead.
Hello there.
Hey.
So I guess I was wondering, I was asked to wait for a week for an appointment, and I'm just wondering whether the week's up.
Yeah, this young lady is part of three people who wanted to investigate this further. I was trying to put a conference call together 10 days ago or whatever, and you said let's beg it off a week.
Yeah, and the last week has been something that I can only describe as absolutely incredible, that we've been going on and going forth and back and forth, and I've been on airplanes and all kinds of stuff. So as far as I know right now, we should be able to have that conference call on this coming Monday. So
okay.
Michael's going to coordinate that.
So we end up, after you set everything up, we have to go to the bank and get the loan from the bank. Is that correct?
Yes. The here again, it's detail work. We have personnel that can be employed, if you will, to do that. I mean, obviously our product is built on the anonymity, but we when we hand it over, it's your business, okay? And so the line of credit and stuff on that business is, you know, the other information providers, and typically the client is the one who's the crux of that. But as I said, we have certain personnel that can be employed to do that and be your proxy, if you will.
Okay, so
that's detail work.
A bank's actually lending money right now, because it looks like they're all going bankrupt.
Well, you know, that's the unfortunate thing about mainstream media and the things. The lending market is literally an ocean. There are people out there that have, you know, and there's, I mean, you can get stuff from, you can get money from companies in Dubai. Several indigenous nations, or what we used to call Indian nations in the United States, have casinos and stuff on their reservation. They're flush with cash. They loan it out. That's just a couple of examples of the ocean.
Okay, so I don't have to walk into a Wells Fargo with whatever you give me and say, "Will you lend me $1 million?"
Right. We can. We have personnel that are employable in that situation. Here again, this is all details and stuff that would be served on a strict conference call.
That sounds better.
Yeah, you can, you know, good old capitalism, you can hire anybody to do anything.
Okay,
I'll
well,
send Guido to your house.
Hey, you don't have to be nefarious about it.
Okay, I guess I'll wait for Monday then.
All right, thanks.
Most excellent. Thank you.
All right.
Anyone else press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hands? Otherwise, we're going to say goodnight a little bit earlier than normal, but that's Okay, I have an early appointment tomorrow, so that will work out fine for me. Going once, going twice. Any closing remarks, Mr. Slevin?
I'll remember your mom's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Remind everyone to come back Saturday. Well, tomorrow night we have a recording from an information provider that talks about home foreclosures, actually. And then come back Saturday, we'll have a conversation with Justice Beshear. Until then, good night, everyone, and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.